Save big money on your next painting project now at Menards. From your kitchen and bath to doors and trim, and even your ceilings, Dutch Boy has the perfect choice for your painting projects. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a tough paint and primer that provides great scrub resistance and durability. Save big on Dutch Boy paints. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. The Bird Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bird Show's entertainment buzz.
I'm giving a content warning here for sexual assault and also some adult conversations. So if you've got kids in the car, it might be a good idea to tune into the Bird Show podcast later in the day, because Joe Gatto, comedian Joe Gatto of the Impractical Jokers, he has been accused of sexual assault and harassment. This all started when a TikTok user named Juicy B got online and talked about her experience at the age of 19, where she claims that she was sexually assaulted by him.
Yeah, I got sexually assaulted by Joe Gatto, the Impractical Joker. I'm sorry if you don't want to believe it, but the people you idolize are not always going to be good. They're going to do things, and they're going to take advantage of people because of that. Like, I'm not saying it was, I think some of it was my fault. I don't know how this works, but I just posted the proof, and I have not told you guys half of it.
So Joe is denying the claim. He's saying that I have used poor judgment, and as a result, I have violated the trust of people I love most. I'm working on myself, and it's an ongoing process, and I'm now going to take some time away from the public eye to focus my energies where I need to. Now, a second woman has also come forward saying that she also worked for Joe for about 2 years, and she said that during that time, he would inappropriately grab her, ask her for back massages, and also ask her about her sex life, and if she rejected any of those advances, he would be rude to her at work.
So now, if I read this right earlier, he was married, they separated, and then reconciled, and now this is all going down.
Yeah, so he actually left the Impractical Jokers for some undisclosed quote-unquote issues in his personal life, and that's also when people are citing that he separated from his wife, Bessie, but apparently they got back together in 2023. But I get the sense that if you are going to be the type of person to do something like SA or sexual harass somebody, you're not necessarily thinking about your wife at home, so it might have happened while they were together or while they were apart, but either way, the behavior is pretty inexcusable. All right, Elton John, he's got some advice for some up-and-coming musicians. He's saying that you got to skip shows like X Factor and American Idol and just get in a pub. So he's saying that you got to emphasize reality over reality TV, basically saying that, quote, the experience stood me in great stead when I became Elton John, basically talking about going into pubs, because I had backbone. And backbone is so important, because the worst thing that can happen to you in the industry are things like X Factor and instant fame on television, where you have no experience playing live. You get put on stage, you go, and you can't do it. That's the worst thing. American Idol, just the worst. Take risks, go and play in a pub.
Yeah, we've said this for the longest time. You know, there used to be sort of a like a minor league before you made it as an artist, and that was the local clubs. You just go in a van from one place to the other to the other, until somebody recognizes you. And now with reality TV shows, you don't have that anymore.
I agree with him. I feel this way as a comedian. I feel like you can really see the difference in the fact that comedians used to have to really go to these clubs night in and night out to develop their skills. And nowadays, a lot of these comedians just blow up off of videos on Instagram, and they really don't have to go out there and get that live performance work. And then you can definitely tell the difference.
I think if it's a little bit too much of a blanket statement, because I think saying shows like American Idol don't work at all and they're not good for you is too much of a blanket statement, because look at like Carrie Underwood, she's doing just fine. But I think if you work your way in the sense that like you perform in the church choir, or you perform at a baseball game and you sing the national anthem, and then you use American Idol or X Factor as a marketing tool, to me that makes sense, because then you have all that experience, but now like you're ready for that moment when like luck and hard work come together, because then people can see all that hard work you put into your live performances. Mm-hmm. I think Benson Boone is a really great example, because like he went on American Idol and didn't make it as the American Idol, and then he had a couple of songs go viral on TikTok, but it's almost like American Idol was his experience to get ready so he could flip every time he goes on stage and do his little backflips.
Did you see there's another celebrity's kid who is vying for American Idol?
Who is it?
Carney Wilson.
Oh, is that right? From Wilson Phillips. Yeah, okay. Apparently her daughter just auditioned for American Idol.
That makes me feel old.
This is a recession indicator. If we have Nepo babies going to American Idol to get famous, this is not a good sign. All right, are Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco shading Justin Bieber on their new joint album? I'll tell you about the one lyric that's got people speculating on your next E-Buzz on The Burp Show.
The Burp Show.
And this is so jacked up because her friends totally turned on her, man. And she was just being like the brave spokesperson for the group. Hey, Mary, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay, so for those that didn't hear our texting tutor last week, you want to sort of recap why we were helping you out?
Yes. Well, I had a spring break trip planned, and one of the three, it's supposed to be four total, one of our friends decided to bring her boyfriend, who she's only been dating for a couple of months, and it was supposed to be a girls' trip, and I was just texting her to let her know that we didn't want her boyfriend to go, or we asked if maybe her boyfriend wouldn't go so we could just keep it with the original plan.
Yeah, I think Abby said, in order not to be like totally mean girl about this, you were like, give her the option to leave old dude at home.
Mm-hmm.
And then if she like really doubles down on it, then we can be like, yeah, no, he's not invited. You can't do that. That's very uncool of you.
Mm-hmm.
Which we did. And she did not take it
well. She did not take it well. I think, in fact, we left it with she said that you should all get STDs, which is quite the way to go out.
I think this is an important question here also going into exactly what happened this weekend. Why were you the person to text her and not anybody else in the group?
Well, I've known her longer, so they just figured we had kind of a closer, I mean, we're all super close, but they just figured, well, maybe it was better coming from me because we had more history.
She was the sacrificial lamb, Bert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, y'all felt the same way though.
Oh, we all definitely did not want her boyfriend going, and it's such a new relationship. We didn't even think it was necessary for her to bring him, but she's obsessed with him. So, but after our texting the other day, everything's just gone sideways.
All right, why not? Take it from here.
Well, I thought that after, she wished that we all got STDs, that was just the dramatic end of it, and maybe some time would go by and everything would just be fine. But she immediately reached out to the other two girls that are going on the trip, and she played the victim so hard. She told them she felt blindsided and that she couldn't believe that we would do this to her. And she pulled that classic, I thought we were all best friends, but I guess I was wrong, guilt trip. And so she told them that she was so excited and she planned all her outfits already, and that this whole thing was so mean girls of us. Mm. Okay. And it worked because my two friends caved and they came to me later and they admitted that they felt bad, that we should have handled it better, and they didn't want to hurt her feelings. So they told her she could come. And because this just keeps getting worse, her boyfriend is also coming.
So all of that was for naught. That was a whole waste of time.
Yeah, a waste of time. And now it's tense because, I mean,
well, yeah, it's going to be awkward after that incredibly awkward text conversation. Did she tell her boyfriend too? Is he in the know of what you attempted to do on behalf of the group?
I'm not sure.
Once my friends get boyfriends, I know that pretty much any secret I tell them, they are also spilling to the boyfriend.
1,000%.
It's so awkward and icky.
I think you're totally and completely screwed. to a point where you shouldn't probably even go on this trip.
No.
I wouldn't go.
It's going to be a mess.
Here's the thing, because now if you back out, now it's an even bigger thing. Now you're just making the drama even worse. I feel like this is a storm that we just got to bluster through, and it's going to suck. This trip is not going to be the fun, girly pop trip that you wanted it to be, but I think it is necessary, because here's the thing. All cards are going to come out on the table. You guys are going to be drinking, having a good time. It's going to be tense. It's going to be a pressure cooker, but it's going to be a make or break moment for your friendship, in the sense that it's all getting out there.
Break already happened.
No. Well, we're kind of mending.
Yeah.
We're putting it back together.
Okay, don't do that hand gesture again.
I'm not. All right, Mary, you got to be a Buffalo.
You have to be a buffalo. Instead of running away from the storm, you have to sit there and let the storm pass. Otherwise, the storm is eventually going to catch up with you, and it's just going to be worse in the end. So I think you go, and I think you, you know, hold your ground. You are entitled to be on that trip just like everybody else. And I know you have to weigh, is it worth it? Because we get to a certain age, like as far as toxicity, drama, et cetera. Like, what do I want to expose myself to? What do I want to endure? Is it worth it? Like, you have that moment where you're like, is it worth it? But in this instance, I think it is.
Don't be a buffalo, be a whale and migrate out of there.
Yeah, y'all are better than me, man.
You wouldn't know?
No, not at all.
What?
I would feel betrayed by my friends. Like, that part alone would make me just feel like, yeah, I think I'm going to sit this one out. And then you're going to get all of the negative and the awkward energy because it's going to feel like it's your fault that this is all happening, even though you were trying to do the right thing for everybody. That would be more than enough reason for me to sit it out.
The sucky part about relationships is in this moment, you have to decide, do you want to be right or do you want your friend group to stick together? Because if you want to be right, just don't go on the trip and then you get to take your pride all day long. But if you want your friendship to have a chance at surviving, you gotta go and buffalo your way through this. Otherwise you're gonna become like a delicious bison burger.
I'm with Mo. I would back out, man. It's gonna be too awkward, man. I think this friendship has already taken a hit.
Yep.
And your friendship with your other friends also for selling you out.
They betrayed you.
Terrible.
Completely.
Terrible.
I couldn't do it.
So what? Yes. What's your gut telling you to go or not?
No, I'm wavering back and forth. One minute it's one feeling, the next minute I don't want to miss out because of her manipulative behavior, but then it's going to be weird and resentful tension, you know, hanging over us. And it's not even going to be the girls' trip that we planned. So it's already the tone is different. I want to be a buffalo, but my gut wants me to be a buffalo, but I don't know if I'm just going to be miserable. Even my mom says, go. My sister says, don't go. My coworker says, you know, don't go. But my brother's like, no, F that, go. And I have to make a decision soon, though. And I do like the idea of being a buffalo. I just don't know if I can, I feel really disrespected. So, I don't know. I'll think about if I can just suck it up and go.
Hang tight here. Hey, Baron, good morning. You're on the Burt Show. You are going to go extra petty, eh?
Oh, yeah. No, you should just go and plan, like, a bunch of, like, girly stuff, like pedicures, manicures, like, go to, like, a, like a, you know, a girl strip club where there's dudes just, like, swinging their thing everywhere.
Yeah.
They're helicoptering.
Swinging that thing. Here's the problem, though, is that one would backfire, I think, because then they just, the couple won't show. He's not going to go to all that stuff.
Absolutely not.
Which I think is probably best case scenario that she gets to hang out with her friends without this one. It's going to be so tense.
You're going to be one miserable little buffalo, Mary. That's all I know.
Can't even enjoy the trip if you got to be that petty the whole time.
The Burt Show.
Very few redos in sports, but there's one girl that messed up the national anthem so badly when she was 13. Luckily, she got to redo it 22 years later.
Couldn't care less about sports, balls just ain't your thing. Don't give a f*** about trophies or no Super Bowl ring. You watch reality TV, not Sports Center reports, so Mo's here to give you a reason you should care about sports.
That has no business going that hard. That's top of the charts right now.
Shout out to my man Case Money. I appreciate you. So this story is really heartwarming, and it hit home for me for a couple of different reasons, because as Bert mentioned, this woman's name is Natalie Gilbert, and 22 years ago, she sung the national anthem for the Portland Trailblazers, which I have had to sing a national anthem now and have a whole new respect for people who get out there and do it.
Uh-uh.
It's not as easy as you think it would be, and it's very easy to get up there and the nerves take over and you may forget a word or two.
Anybody who thinks singing the national anthem is easy is delulu.
Oh, no.
I feel like that would be one of the hardest songs to sing in public.
Absolutely.
Anywhere.
Absolutely. And that's why I was going over those words over and over again, because you think you hear it all the time, you got it. But in that moment, you can slip up. And that's what happened 22 years ago to Natalie Gilbert. And Maurice Cheeks, who was the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers at that time, who is also the man that I'm named after. I don't know if I ever mentioned that.
No.
Here before. Yeah, that's,
why?
I'm named after Maurice Cheeks. So my father was a huge Julius Erving fan who played with Maurice Cheeks back in the day, Dr. J.
You know, he lives right down the street.
I do. Yeah, I met him a couple times too. Really great guy. And my father was such a fan that every time they were in the backcourt together and Dr. J would go, yo, Mo, he would always call him Mo. He just loved the fact that he called him Mo. He loved the name Mo. So he realized that Mo was short for Maurice, and that's how I got my name.
Come on.
Which, yeah, that's why I'm Maurice and not William. I was almost William, but they chose Maurice over William, which I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
I think I'm more of a Maurice than a William. But so shout out to Maurice Cheeks. This was great. And at that time, when she was stumbling on the words, he decided to come over and stand next to her and mouth the words with her so that she can remember during her performance.
The 13-year-old, the national anthem, and her nerves. 22 years later, the comeback. It was the moment seen by millions more than two decades ago.
Oh, say can you see?
In 2003, a young singer, Natalie Gilbert, just 13, singing the national anthem on the Portland Trailblazers basketball court.
Proudly we hailed at the stars like stars.
Oh, no.
Starting off strong, and the nerves, suddenly forgetting some of the lyrics.
Come on.
The team's coach, Maurice Cheeks, quickly stepping to her side to help her. That basketball coach soon coaching her. Singing with her and then encouraging the crowd to sing too. Natalie would go on to finish the anthem to cheers. She and the coach would never forget that moment.
Well, thank God they didn't boo the 13-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Right? Can you imagine?
Yeah. This ain't Philly.
No. So it was just beautiful to see him standing by her side. He stood there the entire time, and he made sure that she got through it. And she sounded amazing when she did get through it. And he hugged her at the end and let her know it's okay to make mistakes and it's going to be all right. So to celebrate that moment now, 22 years later, they invited her back to do the national anthem once again. And Maurice Cheeks was there to cheer her along as she did it.
And now, 22 years later, she walked back onto that court last night, invited back by the team. And who was there? That proud coach, ready to cheer her on again. And just listen.
Oh, say, can you see?
Tonight, Natalie telling us she hopes everyone knows it's okay to make mistakes. It's all about how you recover and become stronger. Lesson for us all on that. Congratulations, Natalie.
It was beautiful. I feel like she put a little extra sauce in it.
Yeah, she did. Waiting 22 years.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
People are wondering if Selena Gomez and Benny Blanco are shading Justin Bieber on their new joint album. But before I get you into the lyric that everyone is dissecting and pulling apart, I want to play you this really funny audio from a Naked and Afraid contestant. So this all has to do with a guy named Jarrell Bangs, who is filming in the Philippines for Naked and Afraid, which is a show where you're naked and afraid. I guess he had a snowboarding injury where he had to get 17 stitches in his butt, and they took them out on camera.
The wound looks healed.
There's no more discharge, no sign of infection, no redness. It's a good day to take it out today. You know, sting a bit.
Oh! You got this, Jarrell.
Ooh! Is that one close to my
Yep.
Whoa, that felt crazy.
Let me tell you, I wouldn't wish that sensation on anybody.
So wait, he had an accident on the show and had to get 17 stitches and then they removed it on the show?
On camera. Like, it's literally the worst case scenario. Like, you got your butt out. You're already naked. You're already afraid, but now you're in pain. So you're naked, afraid, and in pain. And you got all of the other contestants watching you. It is worst case scenario.
They couldn't turn the cameras off at least for that one part.
No, absolutely.
For reality TV.
Give my man a little privacy.
That is reality TV gold right there.
That's true.
Okay, so Benny Blanco worked on
on an album with his fiancée, Selena Gomez. And of course, anytime Selena Gomez says anything, of course, they have to draw it back to Justin Bieber and how these songs are going to tie into Justin Bieber and her relationship and her breakup with Justin Bieber. And there is one song that people are kind of taking a microscope to, because what I didn't know about Benny Blanco was that he actually had a close working relationship with Justin Bieber. They actually worked together on his song Lonely. You know, the song where he's like kind of yodeling. He's like, lonely. Yeah. So anyway, they worked on that song that together.
That rendition was impeccable.
It was just like that.
Just like it. Copy paste. So apparently, so they had a very, very close working relationship, even on the music video. If you go back and you look at the behind the scenes footage, like they're buds, like they're very, very chummy. And that song came out probably 5 years ago. I mean, it's been a hot second, but now Benny Blanco is engaged to Justin Bieber's ex. And so, of course, now they both have all this history with Justin. And so people are looking very, very closely at these lyrics. And people are most pointing out a song called How Does It Feel to Be Forgotten? Already very, very shady, considering both of them had relationships with Justin. And there's one lyric that people are zooming in on, and it says, "You're so embarrassing. Go cry when no one's watching. I can't imagine it. How does it feel to be forgotten? You walked in, big grin, talking like we're friends. What were you thinking? He loves me. I love him. Look at you. Just look at you now." And a lot of people are zooming in on this because now it's like, okay, well, if you were friends with Justin and she was dating Justin and now the two of them have come together, like both of them know both sides of the story. And if Benny is now, I mean, obviously he's taking Selena's side because they're engaged. But if you have a personal relationship with Justin and you're engaged to Selena, it's making people feel like, okay, what really did Justin do in this relationship that would make Benny Blanco not just be okay with marrying Justin's ex, but I'm assuming breaking off a friendship with Justin, one of the biggest pop stars in the world.
But it's been 7 years. Like, is she never going to be able to get away from this? Like, I actually feel bad for her that everything you write and say is going to get attributed back to Justin Bieber. Like, at what point do we say this has absolutely nothing to do with him?
But she kind of brought it up. I saw an interview between, I mean, it wasn't an interview. It was like a filmed conversation between Selena and Benny. And they kind of alluded to the fact that, yes, everything she does is kind of brought back to it. But she doesn't really deny that they're talking about it on the album. In fact, she's kind of leaning into it. She was basically like, "I know people are going to think the majority of this album is about certain things that have happened in the past, but really the majority of the album is about their love story." So she's kind of alluding to the fact that some of the album is about her relationship with Justin Bieber and maybe even Benny's friendship with Justin Bieber. So she's kind of playing into it. So very, very interesting lyrics to listen into. You can definitely hear a little bit of shade in the album. All right, for more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Man, we lost a good one last week on Burt's Big Adventure family. We lost Landon last week. Heartbreaking. What a great, great kid. His mom wrote this on Facebook, and it's public, so I feel like I can read it. My precious boy took his last breath Wednesday night at 9:05. I'm at a loss for words right now, as this still doesn't feel real. While I know he's no longer in any pain, it doesn't make not being able to hold him any easier. He was such an amazing and special boy, and he deserved to share that with the world for years to come. Please pray for my family during this difficult time. Pray for his younger siblings who couldn't understand why they weren't able to go tell their big brother good morning and give him a hug like they have every morning. Pray hard for his six-year-old sister who spent most of the day crying in his room asking heaven if she could have him back because she missed him so much. Pray for us all as we try to navigate each second of the days ahead. This is a new level of pain and loss for each of us that offers no roadmap or manual. I honestly don't know how to do this. I don't know how to move forward with such a huge piece of my heart gone forever. This hurts. This hurts so much. Landon, we love you and we miss you forever and always, my precious boy.
This is probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, to be honest with y'all. I spent all weekend thinking about what to say. I don't really know what to say. I don't know what words to use. Landon and I had a different kind of bond, and it was instant. I was thinking all weekend about beyond the obvious why this feels so painful to me. And I think it's because in my life, I've learned through therapy that for a lot of different reasons, it's been very difficult for me to have genuine and authentic connections with people. And I realize how important that is. And for whatever reason, my experiences, it's just always been a difficult thing for me. And for some reason, as God wanted it, Landon and I had that. And it was instant. He became family to me. As soon as we met, it was everything about him. His spirit, his smile, his laugh, the way he handled everything, all of the pain that he was in so bravely. And I've never felt anything like that with anyone, let alone a child. And I've experienced a lot of loss in my life. I went to bury my uncle this weekend. Before the funeral, I got news that a childhood friend of mine was murdered. And then leaving the funeral, I got the news that Landon went home. And as much as I have felt pain in life, when you love a child as much as I love Landon, and you have to watch them transition like this, it's different. It's very different.
It's not fair.
Life feels very unfair right now. And I'm struggling, man. I'm in a dark place. I know it'll pass, but I'm finding it difficult to see joy in much of anything right now. I'm finding it difficult to laugh. I'm finding it just difficult to even think of anything other than him. And people have been asking me all weekend to speak about him and to just remember the moments we had from going to speak for him at his graduation. And I do. And those moments make me feel blessed and honored. And I'm happy that I got to share those experiences with him. But it's painful. It's very painful. And he changed me in a lot of different ways and in ways that I will always remember. He's given me a different perspective of life, of people. He's made me grateful for my own life and for things that I have more than I ever were before. And I'm going to miss him. I keep hearing his laugh. I keep seeing his smile. And I hold on to the moments that we got to share and how happy he was in those moments and how much he would light up whenever he would see me or whenever we would speak. And it just felt like in those moments, that little bit of time, everything was all right. And he wasn't worried about much else but whatever we were focused on in that moment. And I feel for his mom and his family. I'm praying for them. I'm sure every second of every day right now feels like a mountain. I don't know how parents do it. I don't know how you recover, and I'm sure you're never the same. But I never realized how painful it would be to lose someone, especially a child that you had such a connection with. But I will use those moments to continue to try to become a better person every day and be as strong as I possibly can through all adversity and through all obstacles, just like he did every day of his life. And I'll never forget that. And the bond that we share is forever. It's never going anywhere. And I will always remember every moment we ever shared. And I just thank you, Landon. I thank you for being so strong. I thank you for being so brave. And I thank you for changing my life. And I wish we had more time. And as unfair as it all is, I know that you had a purpose. And you served it, little bro. You served it. That's all I got.
When you do a trip like this, you know, you want to try to connect and feel the same for every kid that's on that trip. And 100%, it's not possible. There are just some kids that you're more drawn to individually and more connected to. And for Mo, that was Landon. You know, for me, it was Alyssa and Karma. And it just doesn't get any easier. I wish I could say somehow, some way, it just gets any easier.
It shouldn't.
It doesn't. It just doesn't.
And we all saw it. It was instantaneous.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that kid would light up when he saw you, man, and vice versa. What beautiful moments, too, though. You know, at some point or another, we have to stand back and go, this is, at the worst case scenario, this is what the trip is for. Is for creating memories for the family and creating connections, not only for the family, but also them bringing you into their family. We always say that it's us bringing them into our family. Man. The deepest connections here are just the other way around. And you were brought into their family, and it hurts.
And I felt that. And that's exactly why it hurts as much as it does. But, you know, I just try to hold on to the fact that at least he's not in pain anymore. And if nothing else, I just try to remember that. And the moments we have shared, like I said, I'm very, very honored. And I'm blessed to have shared them with him. And we had something special. And we always will.
The Burt Show.
Kristen, you have completed day one of your forehead billboard.
Yes. Jeez.
You're going to see the videos this week from The Burt Show.
I feel like I have the tightest Fiore strip known to man across my forehead. And so I'm actually now getting slightly concerned that once I do this for 5 days straight, we may have just scarred and marred my beautiful, beautiful forehead.
No, you're just going to lose all movement in your forehead, period.
Period. Yeah. So, yeah, I last week, Burt was commenting on how glorious my forehead is.
It's your whole face, really. I mean, we could have sold more real estate. There was, even posted a picture this weekend with you and Jimmy. I think it was on his birthday. And I don't know if you had makeup on or not. But
I didn't.
You didn't?
No, there was no makeup on.
You look great.
Thanks.
Damn.
Let's do your cheeks next.
What has happened?
It's not too late.
We could have done like two poop emojis on each cheek.
Well, it's funny you say that, Abby. So tomorrow we have a new sponsor because every day, and this is all for the kids for Burt's Big Adventure. So today we snagged $500. Tomorrow we're going to get $750 for from our sponsor. But the logo, so I had to measure my forehead to give Tommy the forehead measurements so he could print out the logos on the temporary tattoos that we have adhered to my forehead. So it's 2 inches high, 5 inches wide, but the one for tomorrow is a little more like
robust.
Yes. Cause the tree is so big. So we can't fit the phone number on my forehead like we were able to do today for the poo dude or like the website, whatever's on there. So I have eye black that I'm going to put underneath my eyes and I'm going to write the phone number underneath my eyes and then the logo will be on my forehead.
And before you laugh at her, this is for Burt's Big Adventure. All this money is going to Burt's Big Adventure.
Yes.
But we thank you.
Yes.
You ain't putting poo on your face for nothing.
No, thank you. I don't put crap on my face for no dollar bills. Like, show me the money, and then you can have my forehead.
Day one, over.
I can't wait to pull this thing off.
Mike, you're starting to realize you might have a gambling problem.
Yeah, I got a lot of problems, but gambling might be one of them.
Do you have enough money to have a gambling problem?
No.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah. So something about me is that I'm addicted to everything. I get just addicted to stuff. Like, I've been addicted to digging holes before. I've been addicted to driving. I just get addicted. What I've recently done is I started following this Instagram account called Claw Crazy.
Claw Crazy?
Yeah. Basically, it's this guy that goes around and he finds fun claw machines.
Oh, the claw machines.
He plays them and he just drops so much money into these things.
There's a way to rig those. Have you seen that? Like, it's a certain button sequence that you're supposed to hit, and when you hit it correctly, you get one every single time.
It, like, resets the system and automatically tests it out, and will grab a toy.
TikTok's where it's at, man.
I don't believe it.
It's true. It's true.
I'm going to have to find that.
Yeah.
Well, this guy doesn't know the trick, so he's just dumping money into these machines. Turns out, though, he has his own website and a warehouse full of claw machines. And basically, you go onto the website, you buy some tokens, and then you can play a real claw machine from the comfort of your computer. You see?
What?
Does that make sense?
No, explain it again.
Okay, so this guy has a warehouse full of claw machines.
Yep.
Each claw machine has like a live camera going on it.
Then
you can use your keys. You pay for it, and then you use your computer keys to move the crane and then drop it.
Okay.
And just like as a kid, I shed so many tears at a claw machine. There's pictures of me and Johnny's Pizza just crying in front of the claw machine. Yeah, so I've started playing the online claw machines.
That's your gambling addiction?
Yeah.
Online claw machines. I thought we were going to be talking about like blackjack and all the other things.
Yeah.
God, well, and they're making it so easy because you don't even have to leave your house.
I know, and I'm probably $15 down now. And
oh, a whole 15 buckaroos.
Well, for him.
That's all he's got in the bank.
Every day I get stingier with my money. I don't buy like no ads on a game. I don't purchase apps. I don't buy anything if I don't have to, but I'm playing the claw machine like nobody's business.
And how many prizes have you got?
I got 3 rubber ducks, 1 paper plane, and some kind of ticket. I don't really know what it does.
My question is, what's the appeal as a 23-year-old man? You know, I understand like normal gambling, the appeal is like you might get more money. There's a lot on the line. But like for you in the claw machine, like what are you really fighting for?
I guess rubber ducks. If I got a bunch of money, I'd probably buy some rubber ducks. So it's kind of separating the middleman. And then and it's a claw machine. It's fun to take your chances, try to win your prize. And but it can be frustrating.
So you have to enter an amount tokens, right?
Yeah.
And then he's supposed to send you the prizes once.
Yeah, that's something I'm slightly concerned about. Okay. Is I might not get them.
You should be.
Yeah. I'm slightly concerned about it also for you.
They haven't arrived in the mail yet.
No, I don't. Yeah, I'm hoping that they show up because
you got worse than
got one duck.
Yeah, he's gonna get kneecapped.
Where are they getting shipped from?
I don't know.
You don't even know where the warehouse is.
I don't know. You just click send me my ducks and then
The Burt Show.